And commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right?
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. Today is a Tuesday, so I try and keep it a politics. And I like the local politics. And boy, do I got some ugly local politics that we're going to talk about.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ugly politicians.
No, well, you brought it up, not me. I left the door open. That was Brett Roterman. That was Brett Roterman of the Borough Assembly, and we have John Ringsted in his golfing attire here from the City Council. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I went out and played a few holes of golf in the sunshine this morning. It was great.
Brett, how you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Brett, they're already calling it Alaska Land.
Yeah. And nothing's been changed. That doesn't happen technically until I think it's September 10th-ish. Yeah. It's when the official park, you know, basically all the vendors close down, is when the transition is supposed to happen. But
so, John, my question for you is, how many more years before the next generation comes along and says, "I grew up with Pioneer Park and I want it back to Pioneer Park"?
Well, we sometimes
elected officials
just
about
keep 20 going
years,
in circles.
20, right. 20 to 25 years when they're elected officials. I grew up with Pioneer Park and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. I grew up with A67.
Yep. You know, I didn't know you grew up.
Well, quiet. That's debatable.
Yeah, well, I remember. I don't know if you do. I remember the frog pond over
Yes,
there.
I do.
You remember the
frog
pond?
Yeah, oh, man.
When we were kids, we'd go over and play in the frog pond where Alaska Land
You know, and so they're tearing this thing apart. You know, I'm about 6 years old, and I'm, you know, crying to Dad, what are they doing in the frog pond? And Dad's going, "Don't worry, kid. You know, you're going to have a really nice thing over there where the frog pond is." I mean, you went over there and caught frogs and bloodsuckers and tadpoles, and it was great.
Huh, yep.
Now it would be called Wetlands and Marsh.
Wetlands and Marsh. Yeah, really.
And I came here in 91. And of course, it was Alaska Land. And then they changed it back to Pioneer Park. And I thought that was kind of silly. But I didn't understand. I really didn't truly understand the significance of Pioneer Park until this issue came before the borough. That's when I really started, you know, we got the deep dive into the whole thing. And, you know.
The sad part was Scott Crass made it racial.
Yeah.
Very sad. You know,
it didn't need to go down that road at all. It was kind of a sad debate. It really was.
Yeah, you know, the votes were there internally. So you didn't have to say anything bad. You could have just said, which many people felt, I grew up with Alaska Land. I want to bring it back to Alaska Land. But Scott went, "Well, you know, this has been Native area, Alaska Land, yada, 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 bad whites, and this, this, and that, and that." And I was just going, "Oh, boy, here you go, Scott. Good job."
Well, and then I thought the really sad part was when the pioneers of Alaska were accused of being a racist organization.
Yeah, pioneers is racist,
Right. And all of that was predicated on, you know, basically that organization's bylaws way back in the day. Well, guess what? Every other organization back in the day was every bit as racist, which is sad, but it's, you know, times change and people move on and people get better. And that's, I just thought that was really uncalled for.
Yeah.
So, and it probably were, you know, a lot of our current pioneers. Probably, you know, their parents were pioneers back when those bylaws were in existence, you know, so they probably remember that, but it's not what it is today. And
true.
That's what I thought was kind of sad about the whole thing. I didn't think it needed to go down that road, and but it did. So,
yeah. What do you think, John?
I think sometimes we try to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Yep.
You know, we can spend all of our time getting into the swamp on this thing, and we don't deal with the issues we need to deal with.
Yeah, this seemed like there was a purposeful intent by Scott Crass to cause division amongst people of Fairbanks.
We don't need any more division. We yeah. need to start coming yeah. together and be productive and make Fairbanks better and make more opportunities for people that want to live here and make it safe and comfortable for them and make them, you know, they can go out and make a good living and enjoy themselves here.
So,
raise their kids.
You're running for, John Ring said, and you're still fine. You got elected last time.
Yep.
You're running for city council, John?
I am running for re-election for another term. Yeah. I get to do that.
Do you have an opponent yet?
Somebody, a woman filed yesterday that I don't know. So apparently there is someone there. But, you know, I guess I'm looking at it. We've started a lot of things. We're making headway in a lot of areas. I think we want to keep going forward on a lot of those because some of the stuff we're just getting started and I don't want it to drop. But we've had a good working group on the council for the several years that I've been on there now, 4 years. And we get along really well. We're a good working group. We agree, we disagree, we can keep working through it. We make compromises and we make progress. You know, I think that's what we need to keep doing. So the group wants to keep doing it. So it's like now's not the time for change.
You know, it seems like the borough assembly, they work better together now, except for when Scott Crass throws something out there like that.
Yeah. No, I would agree. It's a much more functional group, you know, yeah. right now.
It's all the difference in the world.
Politically, it's lopsided, you know, obviously, if you're looking at it from a conservative and liberal point of view, it's lopsided. But I think for the most part, I think we all work together pretty well. And I've been pretty impressed with, a couple of our members that are not afraid to dive deep into hard financial issues with the borough, you know, and question a lot of these issues. The most recent one, of course, was renting the Carlson Center to the UAF, that Nanooks, and it was Liz Reeves who stood up and questioned it and actually forced another meeting because a lot of us started to question it as well, and we postponed it to another meeting so we could get some more information. If we would have voted on it that first night, chances are the whole thing would have been voted down and the Nooks would have been out.
Homeless.
Basically would have been homeless.
And the Carlson Center would have went under.
Basically, right. So we postponed it to a future meeting and we got some more information. We had everybody at the meeting that night. So we had all nine members. And in the end, there were still some hard questions asked. I was pretty hard on the administration and the folks that run the Carlson Center for us. I was pretty critical of them. I just don't think they're working hard enough to bring in events and entertainers into that arena. And in the end, the vote was, it was 8-1, and it was Liz Reeves that stuck to her guns on it. She just felt that we should be getting more money from
university.
The university for the use of our space. And kudos to her for, you know, asking the question, bringing it. She was the one that brought it to the floor. And she.
How much a year do they pay?
Oh, boy, you had to ask. I don't remember the exact
number. Yeah,
it's $5,000 per game, and then, you know, we get certain parts of the advertising revenue, and we get certain parts of the concession revenue, too. So, in the end, I do agree with Liz. I think they should pay more. In the end, I voted in favor of it because what we were really voting on was to authorize the mayor to go into negotiations with UAF
with over these space. With these parameters.
And right. And so I think the mayor heard our concerns, and so we'll see what he comes up with a lease, you know.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have John Ringsted, the semi-golf pro, and
yeah, right.
Brett Roderman, the semi-pro helicopter pilot. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, Joe, working again? Retirement was boring, huh?
Not boring. Expensive. Food, medicine, rent. Social Security just isn't enough.
And that's why I used BenefitsCheckup.org. It connected me to an extra $1,000 a month.
$1,000 a month?
BenefitsCheckup.org is a free service from the National Council on Aging. In a few clicks, you can see if you might qualify for money-saving programs.
I'm going to BenefitsCheckup.org today.
Supported by the U.S. Administration for Community Living.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Meadow Rydell. This year our theme is breast cancer awareness. Tatas, tutus, and extra tough. What does that mean to you?
That's such a great theme because it's fun, but at the same time, it raises awareness. And that's really why I take the opportunity, like on the anniversary every year, to kind of to remind everybody, like you see me go through life. A lot of people would forget that I had gone through this. And while it still affects me on a day-to-day basis, my impacts are so much less because of early detection. So I like to share it just to remind everybody, like mammograms are so important. Those monthly self-exams are so important. The statistics are really high. It's 1 in 8 women who will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. And so that affects everybody, you know, within your circle. You're going to know somebody and you're going to know somebody closely. So any opportunity we can to be able to celebrate survivorship, to celebrate the people who fought and who anyone who's been in the fight. I mean, once you're diagnosed, you become, we often say, part of this circle of people that nobody wants to be a part of, but they're the best women and they help to guide you through your journey. And so really we're just trying to pay it back in a lot of ways. Like we now know how important early detection is. And so we just want to be able to have some fun with it, but remind people that you can go on and live a living life, but it's real important to get early detection as early as possible.
Go fishing, Valdez. Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Bright sunshine today with highs around 68. North winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 45. Tonight, mainly clear. 69 tomorrow, more clouds than sun. Daytime highs approaching 70 Thursday under mainly cloudy skies. 76 Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have John Ringsted in the studio here, along with Brett Roderman. John, I'm going to ask you anyway, even though I know what your answer is, what's going on with the Polaris building block there?
Well, we had a request for proposals out for quite a while now. And I think there's a deadline coming up for that to be submitted. I'm not aware of any proposals that have come in. So I'm not quite sure where we're going to go and what our next steps are going to be. I mean, we might get something here at the last minute kind of thing. We need to keep plowing forward and get things done. It's unfortunate I want something to happen quickly, but I think each time that has happened in the downtown area where we've taken down old buildings, I remember when they did it and we got pennies and a new fire station down off Cushman, and then we did it when we took all the bars out down there on First and Cushman and put a hotel in there, and none of those happened quickly.
Correct.
If we're going to come in and expect and hope we get something significant, it'll be a large investment for somebody, and I don't expect a real good, solid investor to come in on this quick and commit to doing a whole lot until they've done their homework and their due diligence. So doesn't bother me a lot that we don't have an answer right away. I'm hoping we're going to get some interest that we can then work.
Have you been working something to market the property and to get interest?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know.
I don't know.
Therefore, the answer is no.
Maybe. I haven't been. The city, I don't know.
You would think the city council would know.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
Other than go to the city of Fairbanks' website and pull up the RFP.
Right. So.
So I don't foresee anything.
I don't expect
special.
Any great announcements in the next week or two, no.
Okay. Ah, well, what the heck? And Mr. Roderman, tell us about how your Parks and Rec is doing.
As far as the.
Because I, you know, there are certain things I really like. I really like Birch Hill. Tandon Lakes is fantastic.
Yeah, I think my big hang-up, especially right now with Parks and Rec, is the Carlson Center.
Yeah.
You know, I came here in 1991, and I remember back then there was always large events going on at the Carlson Center. Big
yeah.
concerts, big-name entertainers mm-hmm. Were coming through there constantly.
And it was owned by the borough.
Right, and I don't understand why we're not able to attract these things. I asked that question, and you know the answer was, well, we just don't have those kind of contacts. And so I said, well, why don't you pick up the phone?
Go get them.
You know, or I mean, the first place I would call if I was running the Carlson Center would be the people that manage the Sullivan Arena down in Anchorage. You know, what are you guys doing to get entertainers here? Or whatever, you know, that can rent that space. And geez, you know, it used to be back in the day, most of those entertainers, they didn't come to Fairbanks. They came to Anchorage first, played the Sullivan. And then since they were right here, they're a 45-minute flight away, load up or a 6-hour bus ride with all their gear, come up here, and then that's gravy on top. Why just turn around and go back to Lower 48, you know?
You know, you have different competing interests. It seems like you're going to have something out at the fair. And that's out at the fairgrounds. Then you just had the Aussie show. And that was over at the Spur. But you need for the Carlson Center something bigger. And I remember Toby Keith came there. Elton John played there.
Mm-hmm. Forgot that.
You need something of that magnitude to bring in 3,000 to 5,000 people. You know, the Aussie show was 300. You know, something out at the Tandon Valley Fair, that's 300 to 500. So, you know, you're in the right building. Now you have to put them in the right room to get something good here a couple times a year and use it.
Well, now we're going to have even more competition because talking with Mr. Huff that owns the 8-Star
yeah,
Event Center,
yeah.
He's developing the backside of that property. They're going to start hosting, you know, concerts and entertainment events there. So now we're going to have that to compete with. And then there's another...
Brett,
venue that's coming up, you know.
I hate to interrupt, but you're in Fairbanks, Alaska. You have your events, you know, September through April.
Right.
And let him have May through August.
Right. Right. Yep.
Just a thought.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think that's one of my biggest hang-ups with Parks and Rec right now is I don't think we're pushing the Carlson Center enough.
And it's an interesting thought. What you just said is maybe I'm reading you wrong, but don't think they're marketing it well enough and aggressive enough. And over here on the other side, you've got a private sector businessman that thinks he can market his facility and make it pay.
Right. Yeah. And I guarantee you, he's going to bring people in. He's absolutely going to do it.
We've been sitting here saying they don't know how to do it.
Right. Well, this last two or three administrations don't. You haven't seen it. You know, they're hanging on the hockey. And then the outdoor show, the home show, the women's affair.
But unfortunately, that leaves us about $730,000 in the hole in operating costs in the Carlson Center alone every year. So it'd be nice to close that gap. That was one of the reasons it was proposed. Hey, maybe the UAF Nanook should pay a little bit more, you know.
When Elton John came up, he came up here because he had a few days in between his Anchorage gig and when he was flying out to the next thing. So he just came up here just himself and, piano and just him, not the band, not the ensemble, and put on a heck of a show.
Yeah. And the place was packed.
Yeah.
It was sold out.
Yeah.
So, but I can remember going, I've seen Larry the Cable Guy there, Ron White, to a packed house. Gallagher, I saw Gallagher at the Carlson Center at least twice, and most of those shows. The Wonder on Ice or whatever, where all the former Olympic skaters all got together and they went professional and they'd tour around the country. They came in there and put on a heck of a show. It was a sold-out crowd, you know. It doesn't seem like there's, I just never hear those things advertised anymore at the Carlson Center. And when I do hear events advertised, it's at someplace else. It's at the fairgrounds. It's at the Spur. Now it could be at the 8-star, event center. I just heard here recently, I can't remember which property it is, but somebody else is going to revamp a property and create another potential, convention center. And I can't remember what that was. I just heard this the other night, and hopefully it'll come to me before the end of the show. But anyway, so now we're getting more competition in the private side of things. It's like, if the private side is seeing a potential, opportunity here, then I think the borough is missing an opportunity, So, and we've already got the space that just sits there losing money. So
at some point the taxpayers are going to say no.
That's right,
That'd be sad.
They didn't this go around, or the last go around. But I mean, you would think eventually, people would get wise to it.
It's a use it or lose it.
Yep, that's it.
Fairbanks, we're gonna take a commercial break here. I'm gonna give you some bumper music. The Spin Doctors. What time is it? Whatever that is. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some weather, some commercials. And while we're having this break, I'm going to have John Ringstead lie to me about his golf game and how damn good he is. We'll be back.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Members of Congress honored late South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, a memorial at the Capitol. Here's Vice President J.D. Vance. He was there also.
So I choose to remember Lindsey Graham as a man who could disagree with you without being disagreeable. I choose to remember Lindsey Graham as a person who could fight with you on one issue, but fight for you on another issue.
Residents were recovering after a tornado tore through northeastern Wisconsin yesterday, knocked out power to more than 30,000 people. The mayor of Menasha, Wisconsin, is Austin Hammond.
Recovery won't happen overnight, but you will not go through this alone. This community has always been at its best when neighbors help neighbors. And I have no doubt that that spirit will carry us through the days ahead.
No fatalities have been reported so far, but it could take several days before the power's back on. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports Alaska residents will have expanded opportunities to harvest sockeye salmon this week as the Kenai River personal use dip net fishery moves to around the clock fishing. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the fishery will be open 24 hours per day, beginning at 11 p.m. Tuesday, July 28th, and ending at 11:59 p.m. Friday, July 31st. The extended fishing hours follow biologists' projection of a total late run Kenai River sockeye salmon return of 3 million fish as of July 26th. Under the Upper Cook Inlet Personal Use Salmon Fishery Management Plan, the department may authorize continuous fishing while the projected abundance exceeds 2.3 million sockeye salmon. The personal use dip net fishery is open only to Alaska residents. Participants must carry both a 2026 Upper Cook Inlet Personal Use Permit and a valid Alaska resident sport fishing license while dip netting. The department also reminded participants that retaining king salmon is prohibited in the personal use dip net fishery. Any king salmon caught must be returned to the water immediately.
Online at KFAR660.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizzas for $6. Customer Appreciation Day is today at Gapco. Carry out medium cheese or pepperoni pizza for $6.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Wine glasses never fall over until you get a brand new rug. Ketchup bottles act normal till you're wearing a new shirt.
Ugh, you kidding me?
And rocks lie peacefully on the road till the day you get a brand new windshield. Then they fly up off the road and attack without mercy. That's why new windshields from Glass Doctor come with our windshield protection plan. Unlimited repairs and one replacement for 12 months. Don't just fix it, protect it. Glass Doctor, a neighborly company.
GCR Tires and Service introduces the Cooper Discoverer Stronghold AT All-Terrain All-Season Tire. Lock in control with aggressive tread design that anticipates Alaska's ever-changing roads. Cooper Discoverer Stronghold AT, superior performance on and off the road. On rocks, loose gravel, severe snow, ice, and mud, yet Stronghold AT is quietly responsive on the road as well. Now it's your turn. Buy your Cooper Discoverer Stronghold AT tires at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Naming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
In Alaska, trust matters, especially when it comes to your gold. Gold Buyers of Alaska is one of the largest refiners in the state, buying placer mining material from miners across Alaska. From Nome to Coldfoot to Chicken, they've built a reputation for honest, transparent service and fast turnaround. Whether it's 3 ounces or 1,000, they've got your back with competitive pricing every single day. Ask around camp, ask a miner who they trust. Gold Buyers of Alaska.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Brett Roderman from the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, and I have John Ringstead from the City of Fairbanks City Council. John, how's the downtown going in regards to inebriation, derelicts,
well,
things happening, cleaning up?
I keep getting glimmers of hope. Some of the downtown businesses are saying we're making progress. I think we still have a long ways to go.
Have you been assaulted lately?
No, not since last summer, actually. One
good.
Year's enough. One
well, that's,
year's
that's
plenty.
It's on the good side then.
Yeah, you know, you start to realize we have a problem. I mean, the last time I was in a fight prior to last summer was in fifth grade, you know? It's like, wait a minute.
And it's probably with a cousin.
Probably. Somebody you probably know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we still have a problem. Some of it's the inebriate problem. Some of it's drugs. But we, in a bigger picture, it's not just downtown. where, as we're getting into this and trying to address it, we're finding there are a lot of areas around town. The people in their homes, they're not comfortable. They don't feel safe walking down the street, you know. And we were trying to figure out how do we, without trampling on people's rights to privacy in their own home, how do you start addressing these things? And I think, there's efforts. There's a group going and it's talking more of a homeless coalition of different groups around town. But it's more than homeless, in my mind. We have to have people willing to stand up and be responsible for themselves. And if you're not going to take the responsibility as an individual to not be treading on somebody else and not making a mess of our downtown, and then you need to have some behavior corrections. And I think, we need to, just like you teach your kids when they're young how to behave, what is acceptable and what is not. And some of these people, I think, need to be reeducated and told, no. Sleeping at the front door or in the doorway of a local business downtown is not acceptable. And you just can't do that. I don't know. Maybe I'll just take them all and send them out of the city limits and let Brett take care of them in the borough. But we're working on it. We're trying to get, people smarter than me to come up with some good answers.
Take them to College Road and just past Aurora.
Right.
It's Caribou Way, Mac Boulevard,
But, it's an interesting problem because each situation, and you used to tell us this at the city, David, but, each situation is different. The people are different. Their issues are different.
Yeah.
But you still got to have the universal, no, we don't want you dealing drugs out of a neighborhood. Okay? Period. It's illegal. You shouldn't be doing it, and you sure shouldn't be doing it next to somebody that's
also
raising their kids next door.
You shouldn't have people or organizations trying to defend them because they're down on their luck, they're mentally not right. Hey, look it. There's right and there's wrong. Yeah. Don't try and defend someone who's totally wrong.
I think there's a difference in trying to help them and to try and defend them. It's like they always say, that the first thing is acknowledging the problem. And if you're not willing to acknowledge a problem, defending the people that won't stand up and say, okay, I gotta do better.
Mm-hmm.
Defending them is not the answer. We've got to get people working together and say, okay, this is not acceptable. What is the problem? Well, this behavior is not acceptable.
Well, I look
and
at what—
get those people educated to—
I look at what the Fairbanks Rescue Mission did. Mm-hmm. They were spiraling down until they put up high barrier entry.
Yep.
You can't come in drunk.
Yep.
You're taking a drug test. We'll help you. We'll do everything in the world. But what is happening is we're not turning inebriates loose with families and kids,
right,
and people who are making almost minimum wage and having to clean up all the poop that they leave on the walls.
I think the rescue mission, I've been very impressed with what they've done.
Yes.
They have done that. They set barriers. Years ago, I was on a board of directors for Covenant House in Anchorage, and that was there. And their national theme was, it was a homeless place for teenagers,
mm-hmm,
for kids, a safe place. But they said, we're going to give you a nice place, and we expect you to take care of it. And man, they didn't. There's no cigarette burns in the furniture.
Yeah.
There's no garbage around. The kids, that's the barrier. They're safe. They're happy. They're not scared. They got a place to go.
Yeah.
I think the rescue mission has done that too. Just allowing people to continue their bad behavior doesn't solve the problem because the behavior is the problem.
Yeah.
Right? And so we've got to start figuring out what do we do with the people that don't want
help,
corrective behavior. Like you say, I've gotten beat up lately.
Bring him out to the borough, like you said.
Yeah, really. this guy that jumped me in my driveway on a Sunday morning and started pounding on my head. It was his 45th arrest. He has realized there is no consequence to his bad behavior.
And his legal costs are paid for by the state.
Yeah. I mean, you go back and look and say, okay, 45 arrests later, how much money has the state paid for the prosecution, for the police,
the judge,
for the defense, for the court? Yeah, the judge and the court system. I mean, we're $500,000 into this guy. And I've been told.
I'd say more like a million.
It's a lot, you know, over 25 years. But as I understand it, there is a significant number of these, what they call frequent flyers.
Yeah.
You know, there was a guy that jumped a friend of ours last summer. It was his 72nd arrest. You know, I mean, at some point you got to say, no, this is not acceptable. We're not going to just slap you on the hand and, you know, after you've had a shower and a good night's sleep and a couple, three meals, we're not going to let you out and go do, you know, go have fun again. You know, so we got a ways to go.
And you see that predominantly in urban areas in the Fairbanks Urban Business Core, just where the natural, where they go to.
It's like, you know, water follows the path of least resistance.
And
right?
It goes downhill.
And it goes downhill. And that's the same thing that we let happen to our cities. You know, I mean, I saw this a long time ago in Boston. Mm-hmm. They had a place that they didn't know what to do with these people, so they set this area up. It was referred to the combat zone. And everybody knew the police said, we're not going in there. You do whatever you want in there. And people started dying. You know? And pretty soon they figured, well, that didn't work. Well, yeah, you've got to make consequences for people's action, and you got to teach them better behavior. And if you don't want to behave to the standards, then there are consequences.
True. You just have to have consequences. So
we have to determine the consequences and how we do that and how we work through. Because, you know, our police have told me repeatedly that we pick up these people downtown. If we arrest them, take them to jail, they're out on bail before I get the paperwork done for the arrest.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no consequence for them at all.
Yeah, Brett. Basically you're handcuffing your own police. You know, when you handcuff your own police department, there's not much.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. It's not going to work.
Brett, have you guys been cleaning up any properties in the borough?
So that is a program that is ongoing. We did fund that. It was something that I voted against. I didn't. For one thing, it wasn't enough money. And supposedly we've done three so far. I believe the mayor says we've done three properties so far. And there's a fourth one scheduled. They're hoping to do at least one more before the snow falls. What we're kind of finding out with these things is, you know, you get a bunch of volunteers together. They go in, they clean up as much as they can, you know, in a day. But, I mean, some of these properties take weeks to clean up, so you're sort of kind of making a dent in it and then moving on, you know, to the next one. So I'm not so convinced that this is an effective use of taxpayer dollars. And then the other one is, how do you stop them from reoffending, if you will, you know, and junking the place up again? So
yeah,
well, and there's not a lot of consequences for that, because, you know, where we don't have.
I did it a lot differently.
We did it a lot differently at the city, and when David was mayor, and identified properties, and he would notify, he or his staff would notify these people, and there was a couple of them that he just said, okay, give me a plan. Come up with a plan. 6 months, we want this thing cleaned up. Doesn't happen. He'd come back and say, okay, if you're not going to do it, the city's going to do it. We're going to put a lien on your property, and you're going to reimburse us.
And
we'll do it more expensively than you would have done it.
And in two years, we'll foreclose on the lien.
Yeah. And we actually took a couple properties back. We spent money cleaning them up. My hope is that we're going to actually get them on the market and let somebody build a house on them, do something productive with the property. It's hard. It's not comfortable discussions, but it takes that's got the backbone to do it.
Yeah, and it's a very, as I always said, every property is different. Every property owner is different. You give the property owner, a lot of times they might be out of town. They don't know what's happening to their property.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is different, so we give everyone a chance.
Yeah, we've got one on Holmes Road that is really turning into a disaster area. It's number one on the trooper's hit list for sure. But basically, you know, a guy died, And I don't know if it was his nephew or I don't know. Somebody went in there and took over the property, and now it's oh boy, it's a mess.
And what happens is when you clean it up, the neighborhood loves you.
Oh, yeah. The neighbors right now are really upset at us. You know, they've testified a couple times before the assembly. Unfortunately, where we don't have any police authority, you know, not a lot that we can do.
That's where we at the city have an advantage over the borough.
Right.
Because you do have to have some authority to do that. And the difference between the city and the borough.
I don't even know. I think that question has been asked. I don't even think we have the ability to put a lien on a property. I don't believe we can.
Well, it's so. like David said, there's several that we got into the first year we were doing this. Somebody, whoever had it, you know, they died, their kids are in the States, they haven't been in Alaska in 10 years. Oh, yeah, dad had a piece of property, I don't know what happened.
It's abandoned, it's taken over.
And they're not coming back. You know, those kind of things. We had one, a vacant lot out in on 23rd and Rickert, we did 2 years ago, mm-hmm. that the guy that owned it was in Lower 48, and somebody said, hey, can I kind of, you know, stay on your property? And the guy said, yeah, okay, whatever, I don't care. But there was no building there. There was a shed there. There was a 1950 school bus.
Then all of a sudden there was 13 people living on it.
13 people living there.
Squatting and pooping.
And doing a lot of illegal activities that the neighbors sat there and watched. And, we had to go in. We went in with our public works department, took in dump trucks and a big 966 loader,
right,
it took 2 days. We had our homeless coordinator go in there ahead of time, said, you know, on Wednesday we're cleaning it up. So
gave everyone 1 week notice, and if they were there, they got a to-go package of things,
mm-hmm.
and then they went.
And they went.
And there was one time I'm sitting in the mayor's office, and this guy comes walking in to thank me. He was at that site, and he went through a rehabilitation because he got the services that we offered, and he cleaned himself up. Like, wow.
We went in there that day. I think that our coordinator had four places to available.
Yeah.
The first three guys were excited. The fourth guy said, gee, it's nice, thanks, but I like this lifestyle. I don't want a home.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's their right, but you can't do it on somebody else's property. And, you know, I was talking to the lady across the street, had a little four-year-old daughter sitting there with me, and I thought, you know, all the drugs, all the prostitution, all the other stuff that's going on, this little four-year-old should not have to grow up across the street from that.
Exactly right. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The 2026 Tanana Valley State Fair opens Friday. Experience free daily nonstop entertainment. Imagine magic with Neil Fama, the Birdman Wild Bird Show, aerial and acrobatic acts, the Whirling Stiltwalkers Mango and Dango, fascinating exhibits, the Hockey Stunt Show, the Petting Zoo, free games and contests. Witness astounding produce, feast on fair food, ride crazy rides. Plan your visit and buy your tickets online at tbsfa.org. Don't miss the Tanana Valley State Fair this Friday through August 9th.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day is today. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
It's Fireweed and Cedar Wellness Collective on Pegger Road. Imagine a place where healing, relaxing, and community come together. That's Fireweed and Cedar,
where they believe wellness should be accessible to everyone. That's why their yoga classes are just $1 plus pay what you can, with medical-grade red light therapy, private thermal spa, compassionate mental health therapists on hand as well. Fireweed and Cedar Wellness Collective. This week, get a $50 gift certificate for half price on this week's 50-50 offer.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Ample sunshine expected this afternoon with highs around 68. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 45 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Highs level off around 69. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Councilman John Ringsted and Assemblymember Brett Roederman in the studio with me here. Excuse me. So, John, you're running for re-election.
Yeah, I am doing that.
You were such a jerk last time. You didn't do crap. I had to grab you one time, just one time, to force you to sit on
up to run to for re-election.
No, that's to sit true. On a corner with me and have waving your sign for you. And you were doing it. You did it for 2 hours because then you had to go up to the house and watch your granddaughter play basketball.
Yeah. You know, it's tough. Interesting. I've been kind of around this for a long time now. I enjoy the work that we're doing on the council. I've enjoyed the political stuff I've done. Campaigning, in my mind, is a necessary evil. You have to do it to be able to
get pain in the backside.
Yeah. You know, I have known people in politics that love to campaign but don't really want to do the work. You know,
is that Senator Kawasaki?
I didn't say that. But I would rather do the work than campaign, but that's the thing you have to do to be able to do the work. So we do it. It is what it is. It's a good system. I can't say there's a better one running around the world. So I can't complain about it. But my preference is that I could be doing other things other than campaigning. One of which is playing with my grandkids.
Yeah.
But we need to do, the work needs to be done. We need people that are willing to put in the time and the energy. And I'm fortunate because I have the time and I have the energy.
You bring a very unique perspective. I don't mean to interrupt, but you bring a very unique perspective with the history of basically most, if not all of your life, unless you're outside of college, living in the city limits of Fairbanks. Yep. Two, knowing just about everyone in the city limits of Fairbanks. Three, having a very good fiscal mind and background, because no matter what, you have to budget for things. And four, having exceptional common sense on knowing what will work and what you just leave off.
Is he talking about me? He must be misunderstanding.
I thought he was talking about me.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
You're next.
Well, thanks for that. I sometimes... Time will do this for us as the years go by, but you look back and say, I've been fortunate in the opportunities I've had, the things I've seen and been able to learn.
Yeah.
And sometimes I look at this and from a perspective and say, okay, what do I do with all this stuff I've learned all the years?
And
productive.
And another thing is
serving the council.
Both of you, what I like about both of you is you don't have to do this.
Well, I had years ago, back in the 80s, I had a friend that found a quote somewhere that said, if you're going to be good at, it was written to be a legislator or an elected official in general, if you're going to be good at it, you can't need the job.
Yeah.
If you need the job,
you're not going to be good at it.
You're already compromised.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, you know, for guys like Brett and I, we're fortunate to be in a position. We don't need this job. And it gives us the freedom to go out and do the right thing instead of, you know, oh God, what's going to happen to me if, you know, if I do this or I say that, or, you know, at some point you need people that are going to just go do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fortunate position that the two of us are in.
Yeah. I did it just, it was just a way to give back, you know, really. Yep. That's what it was, is, you know, I've been very fortunate. Fairbanks has been very good to me, and I looked at it as a way to give back. By the way, I almost forgot. Everything you have heard from me today is my opinion. My opinion alone does not represent the Fairbanks North Star Borough, nor the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. There, I'm legal.
You're
I said
legal.
It.
There you go.
I got it in right before the end of the show. This,
and here's the thing about the difference between the city and the borough. Even though they made that legal, we still don't trust it, so he has to say it just to double-check and make it double legal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case. So. You're covered.
Yep.
I figure anything somebody tells me is their opinion.
So, I guess Mr. Ringstead is a true politician because he didn't tell us his golf score.
Right.
But he alluded to the fact that he did better than he did bad.
That's true.
I still think he can't count that high.
let's forget the qualifications, you know, here.
The way I keep score is how many golf balls I lose.
Yeah. Hey, a good day is when I come back with the same number of balls I left with.
Oh,
it
have
to be the same one.
Yeah, exactly.
Find more than I lose.
Oh, man. What does the city have on the agenda over the next month? You guys just went through budgetary again.
We did some more budget adjustments.
You got what do you got left in your reserve, about $25,000 now?
Well, we actually cut a couple more... $200,000 out of the mayor's new request for additional funding, which some of us weren't very excited about. So we got a couple of $100,000 left, almost $250,000 in that. We do have some money in savings, but we're trying really hard to live, taking in the year is how much we're spending.
You mean,
in your reserve account.
Yeah, in your reserve account.
Yeah, so... we're trying to do that.
The borough doesn't believe in that.
Yeah, no, they're trying to spend over there.
What was this year's budget about? $9 million, $10 million?
I think the final number. I think we had to borrow about $7.3 million from
borrow or take.
Take from fund balance. Yeah,
there you go.
So,
well, you know, the city's fortunate. We don't have debt service because they've been disciplined all these years. And that's a big deal. I mean, you look at the national debt and how much money the taxpayers are paying just to pay the interest on the debt.
The city's
not in that position, and we're trying to keep it to where we can operate from year to year on the money that comes in.
Yep. And gentlemen, we have 2 minutes. I'll start with you, Brett. 2 minutes to say anything. You got a minute to say anything you want?
No. Thanks for having me on, and it's always great to be here. Always good discussion about local issues, you know. I wish people would get more involved with, you know, local stuff. Sometimes it's hard to stir people up, but occasionally the borough does a pretty good job stirring people up. So, and remember, you know, elections are right around the corner, folks. So, really, if you're not paying attention, start paying attention now.
Consequences.
Got the primary coming up, and then, you know, we're fast approaching the general election.
And, John, when is the last sign up for local offices? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Wednesday, 5 o'clock.
So if you're thinking about running for election office,
tomorrow at 5 o'clock. I don't know. Where the borough is probably the same deadline.
I think it is the same deadline, yeah.
Same deadline.
Okay.
Let me follow up on that. You know, I think there's plenty to be done. There's lots of work out there that we need to tackle. Whether it's the crime or the drugs or the drunks or whatever.
It's never ending.
It's never ending. So we got to stay with it and getting people involved, you know. I mean, if the problems are out there, the best thing to do is make us aware of them.
There you go. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being on the radio with me today. Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you tomorrow.